Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 290, Reaching for New Levels of Freedom and Security.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, hello there, wherever you're in the world. It's good to be back with you. And yes, it's very busy in those skies, astronomically and astrologically. And a lot of that is affecting us both personally, within our families, and of course, around the world. We are still feeling the influence of that solar eclipse in Aries, where the sun and moon were together, Chiron, the North Node, and we are feeling that because of these warmongers who keep talking about let's go to war. This is very Aries-like. But I want to move on from that to talk about what is also happening, which is more Taurus-like. And why do I want to talk about that? Because Jupiter and Uranus are coming together on the 20th of April, and that is in Taurus. And the last time it was in Taurus was May 1941, when, as you can imagine, a lot was going on, if you have any knowledge of history. Now, at the same time, we have Passover coming, starting on the 22nd of April, I believe, and moving forward for the next six, seven, eight nights. Apologies if I'm not completely accurate on that. And then on top of that, on the 23rd, 24th of April, we have a full moon in Scorpio, Scorpio being the opposite sign to Taurus. So a lot of energy is moving from this more Aries-like energy into more Taurian-like energy. And I want to share that. But I just need to give you a heads up on one other thing that's happening, which is dear old Pluto, which even though they say it's a mini planet, a dwarf planet, when it starts to move in the sky in a retrograde way, it causes waves. And that's what's going to happen on May the 2nd. But like any great container ship, it is already starting to turn. So what does that mean? It's moving from Aquarius, where it's been sitting for a little while, coming back and then entering Capricorn again for a period of time before moving forward again. So we're moving from a place of self-responsibility, community living, coming together in a more unified way, but not being driven by one view. Everybody's stepping forward with their own ideas, moving back into a more Capricorn way, which is more led by leaders or institutions who say, this is what we're going to do. So I want to return to that at a later part of this podcast. So let's just step those steps back, and I hope I can lead you through these different facets of this. So there's a story in the Arthurian legends. You may know about Arthur, King Arthur, and his round table. And I wrote about this in The Heart of the Great Mother. I just say that because it's such a great story about how we develop through the 12 signs of the zodiac. And if I take you way back into the beginning of that story, it's all about a boy child called Parsifal. And he is the son of a knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, who was a very worthy knight, but he was killed in battle. And his mother was so worried that her son was going to get killed that she took him into a house that was in the middle of a forest and said, let's just stay here. This will keep us secure. This is where we can live. And she said, I'd never want my son to become a knight and then get killed like his father. So they lived there for a while. And then one day, Parsifal goes out into the forest and he sees these three men dressed in armor on wonderful horses. And he hasn't any knowledge of what they are. So he runs back to his mother and he says, wow, I've just seen angels, because that was about his limit of what he thought they were. And his mother knew she had already lost him, because he was so enamored by these knights, these men on their horses, that he said, I want to be like them. And this is the story of Parsifal as the young boy leaving home to be on his own hero journey, to become the greatest knight, which he does become. And really, this is where we are now. And I say that because alongside all those things that happened around the eclipse, we now have Venus, which is the lover of life and rules Taurus and rules Libra, conjunct Chiron, which is again that wound. So if I'm helping you to see this, Parsifal was okay. He was safe with his mother in the forest, but he wasn't whole. He was still separate from his own hero's journey, his own inner light, his own way of being, his soul's destiny, whatever word you want. And however much his mother tried to protect him, he said, no, I've got to live my life fully. I'm ready to take that risk. I'm ready to do something new. I'm ready to find freedom through integration of who I am. And maybe you've done that in your life. Maybe you've taken a risk. Everybody said that was silly. And I've told these stories before, but I remember making a decision to leave general practice. And the decision was really made for me because my lovely administrator said, here's some extra money. And I said to her, I don't need more money. I need a life. And I realized that that's that Parsifal decision. It's not the security of having the money or living in a forest or knowing my mother loves me, et cetera, et cetera. My security comes from stepping more fully into who I am. And from the wounded point of view, anywhere I am separated from who I am not secure. Does that make sense? So my security comes by finding myself, by integrating myself, by acceptance of myself. It is from an inner journey to an outer journey that then gets brought back into my inner journey. It's not from things or people can make me safe. Money can't make me safe. So taking that risk is important. And you may have done something very similar, left something. And everybody said, you're crazy. And I also have mentioned before that when I made that decision to give up, you know, a job, and everybody said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know what I don't want to do anymore. I had several people, mainly men, I have to say, who said, how can you afford to do that? And I thought, I wasn't even talking about money. It wasn't like, oh, I'm worried. I said, no, why are you bringing me or projecting onto me your issues about leaving something? And it was when I said to one of them, I can't afford not to do it, that I was never asked again that question, because this was more about my journey, the importance of me being the adventurer, me being the innovator, me leaving something that was secure and stepping out into the world like Parsifal did. So as Venus and Chiron to come in together, she's asking, are you loving life? Are you enjoying life? Are you full of your life? And often Venus is seen as love, but it's more than that, the love of life. And that love of life is not just doing things that you fancy, it's living your truth, living and expressing who you are. And to me, that's what is happening now for all of us. I'm healing the wound of separation from myself. Okay? I am saying I need to find myself in order to become whole. And that's the Parsifal story. It's a great story. Now, at the same time, we have Passover, as I mentioned. And Passover is a very special time for anybody who follows the Judaic or the Jewish ways. And I have just been instructed, thank you, Fran, on what it means to have that Seder plate and what it means to eat the certain foods on that day, on that evening, I should say. Now, the Israelites were escaping Egypt, but they were escaping slavery in Egypt, slavery by the pharaohs. And they made that decision to leave. And they left before the bread could rise. So they left with the unleavened bread, and that's why they eat matzo bread at this time, because they left in such a hurry that they couldn't wait till the bread rose. And I think the symbolism of that, beyond that story, is what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to change before you leave? And what are you hoping for before you make a decision? When I have enough. And that takes me, I'm going to come back to the Passover, but it takes me to the throat chakra, which is ruled by Taurus. And I love the throat chakra, but wherever I go in the world, I meet the throat chakra issues. And the biggest issues of the throat chakra are excuses or asking lots of questions or saying, you don't understand, let me explain to you why it is happening, which is like an excuse, explaining yourself. So this idea of leaving behind something and not saying to yourself, well, I'll do this when I have enough money, or when the children leave home, or when this has happened, or when my so-and-so husband, wife change, then I'll do it. That's the Taurian energy. That's the throat chakra energy. We talk ourselves out of something, but in truth, we're saying, phew, that person nearly made me change, but now I feel secure in my misery. I feel secure in my stories that I tell myself. I feel secure in the beliefs I have. Oh, it's easy for you to say that, but you don't have blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you why I can't do that. Or the classic, well, how am I going to do it? That's throat chakra. You know, give me 10 books I can read so I can learn how to leave. And it isn't about someone else's journey, even though I share my own. This is about you taking that risk to find new realms of freedom. And not allowing that brain to get in there and give you all the reasons why it's not going to happen. Because the mental body is associated with the throat chakra. So our thinking comes through our throat, and our talking comes often through our throat. Blah, 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 blah. When our body is saying, leave, isn't it? Our body, and I often see that obviously in illness, where people say, my body is telling me I have to do something different. Your mind might say, yes, but let me tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't. So it's really body-centered, Taurus-centered body. I mean, Taurus rules the body, rules the nature, and it's not about the mind, even though the mind often jumps in to try and give the Taurus the security it wants. Let me tell you 10 reasons why this isn't going to happen. So then we come back to the Passover. And the lovely stories, and again, apologies if I'm not totally accurate, that you have a beautiful plate with 6 different sections in it. And if I remember some of them, the hard-boiled egg, which represents the perpetuity of life, the new life that's out there, the lamb shank, although I don't think that goes into the plate, I might be wrong, representing the arm of God reaching out to you, the trust that you need, the bitter herbs. It might be horseradish, which represents the pain, the suffering of slavery. The fruit and the nuts that represent the mortar that the pharaoh expected you to apply to build a pyramid, etc. And another, I'm thinking it's more like a piece of celery and salt water, which represents both the tears that you're shedding, but also the way in which you feel that you've been held back in your slavery. I hope I've represented most of those things. But the idea really was, this is a time to leave. This is a time to go for new life. This is a time to trust the arm of God. This is a time to trust the perpetuity of creation, that things will move on if we're willing to just let go. And I ask all of us is, where are we slaves? Where are we slaving away for something? And I speak about this because the slavery may give a sense of security. And again, I'm not talking about the Israelites. I'm talking about our own sense. Hey, it's okay that I don't feel free to be myself, because at least I feel safe. I have a job, what we call the golden handcuffs. Yeah, I can't do what I want to do, but hey, I have money at the end of this job. Where are we enslaved? Where are we encamped or giving away our power in order to feel safe? Who do we give our power to? And I think as Pluto starts to come back, we're coming back, she's going to come back into Capricorn again. And we're literally seeing at this time that all the institutions that we thought gave us security, the banks, the politicians, the school system, the religions, post office in Britain, all these institutions are falling apart. Not necessarily physically, in other words, they're going to continue, but what we thought was a secure, reliable, trustworthy system, the flaws are showing, the secrets are coming out. And this is being enhanced by this Scorpionic full moon that says, let's look at the money that's being paid to people to do a certain thing. Let's look at the way money is not being sent to the right people. Let's look at who's actually benefiting from this, and are we? And so a lot of what's going on out in the outer world, you might say, yes, they're bringing me security because they're going to give me this particular drug, or they're going to give me this particular money, or they're going. But this is a false security, my friends. Maybe especially if it's one based on polarities. Oh, yeah, let's go against those other people because they're the bad ones. They're going to upset my security. Yeah, let's change the climate just in case I'm not secure. We can never be secure enough from things which are natural and things that are outside us. So what brings you security? Is it the things I've mentioned? Money, food, they're all important. But at the end of the day, are they filling you with a sense of prosperity and freedom, or are they enslaving you? And because Taurus is also associated, as I say, with the mental body, it's often our thoughts that cause us to believe that's giving us security. So it can be, well, as long as then I'm secure. So what are we putting energy into or money into that for the sake of security? Were we doing rituals or following a particular diet or following a different plan, a particular plan, just in case? Because you can't hold back what's going to happen. And it's not happening directly to you. Nobody's against you. But it's saying that which you believed was giving you out of security often has to collapse in order for us to experience inner security. We often have to find that the walls that we thought we'd built around ourselves are actually keeping us small. And when those walls break down, people don't do what we thought they were going to do. Leaders don't live up to our expectations. We get disappointed. We feel let down. People don't do, or things don't happen the way we thought. It's actually good. This is Pluto saying, let me break down your walls. Let me break down your beliefs, because they are false security that's keeping you small. So this particular aspect of the conjunction between Jupiter and Uranus is saying time to break out, but also time to find an inner security through your connections to your heart, connections to yourself, connections to your body. That's why I talk so much about connecting to the body, to nature. You might just think, oh, she's out there. But the more we connect to an inner truth, an inner body, our deep emotions, and trust them, the more we free ourselves up from being slaves to other people's emotions, approval, whatever it is. Where are we prostituting ourselves? Please be my friend. Please do what, give me approval. Please like me. Please, whatever all of that is never going to be enough. And whether it's friends or God, or if I do this, I'll get a good job. Anything where you're asking for something in return for keeping yourself small is not okay anymore. You come from that place of stepping out like Parsifal did, stepping out and being your own hero, moving forward, and leaving behind this mother energy that is represented by, you know, a loving mother, but one who was going to deprive you of life. So where are you being cosseted or over-loved, smothered with love in the desire to hold on to you? And that might not be someone else. It might be what's going on inside you. Where are you seeking love? And but that love is so costly and so toxic. And to just complete this story of the Israelites leaving Egypt, you know, where we look at it from a larger point of view, from an astronomical point of view, we talk about, or I talk about, the precession of the equinoxes. If you know anything about that, the pole of the center of the Earth, north-south pole that goes through the center of the Earth and around which the Earth rotates, is called the North and South Pole, the real geographic North and South Pole. And over time, because there's a wobble of the Earth on her axis going in the opposite direction to the spin of the Earth, over 26,000 years, the pole moves through each of the signs of the zodiac. And if you want to know more, go into the heart of the Great Mother. So what's happening in that time of the Israelites leaving Egypt was that they were moving from the more Taurian energy that was really around the time of Abraham and before, and moving into the Aries energy. Now, if you don't know, we're in the ends of the Piscean age. We haven't yet moved into the Aquarian age. But if we just go back there, the age of Taurus, which is the age of the cow. Everybody tells me it's the bull. It's not, it's the cow. She had horns. She is Hathor. She is Isis. She was the great mother, often had lots of nipples and represented by the cow or other symbols of this generosity, which is very Taurian, this generous heart. And so it's feeding off the mother, feeding off the land. It was a very land-rich time. We're talking probably about 2000, 3000 BC. But the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt was they didn't feel rich. They didn't feel looked after by the pharaohs. And they said, no, we're going to leave this age of the feminine, this Taurian cow, and we're going to leave with this man who is a shepherd, which was Moses. And if you read the Bible, you'll hear that Moses said, oh, look, I'm just a lowly shepherd. How can I take these people across to the promised land? And God says, pick up a serpent and it becomes your staff and you will have power. And this was the beginning of this alchemical story of using the power and being able to be assisted by the forces of nature to bring the people to the promised land. I promise I will take you there in another podcast. But what happens, of course, when Moses goes up the mountain to take the Ten Commandments, the people melt down the gold and create a golden calf. Why do they do that? Because they're saying, you know, we're following this man, may not know where he's going, and we want to just stay safe. So let's pray to the goddess that we've just left the goddess of Hathor and Isis, who is the goddess, the holy cow, the sacred cow. That's why they created the calf. Of course, Moses got very angry, melted down that gold that they had created, and God said, feed them with it. This was the first time that monatomic gold was given to people to bring about transformation of their minds. That's another story. But what I am really wanting to focus on there was that even though Parsifal left his mother, and in essence, the mother dies or is dying because he left, there is a part of him that keeps wanting to go back and see whether it could be different. And that's a tendency we all have to say, well, if I just keep going back, maybe one day they'll love me. Maybe one day it will feel more secure. Maybe one day I'll fit in. Maybe one day it will work for me. And I'm saying this is a time to say it's not going to. Just because the only thing that matters at this time for all of us is to heal the wounds of separation, find the love of life, honor the feelings we have in our body that say, yeah, this isn't working anymore, not letting that mind jump in and tell us a different story. Let go of our stories that just keep us wounded and take that path to freedom, which is being offered by the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Now, I can just return briefly to the time of 1941. And what I've come to understand, it was a time where money was being sent from the US to the UK to keep the military going. Oh, wow, we're still doing that. It was also a time, apparently, when people were coming together to decide how they were going to give up or separate the different countries and each take a piece of the land. That is, of course, what's happening as well. Who owns the land? Who owns the money? How can we keep this flow? That wasn't a good time. But it was also interesting. It was a time where the people in Britain actually were able to break the Enigma Code. And the Enigma Code, if you saw the film with Tooling in it, it very much was about breaking a code, seeing things in a new way, getting an upper hand. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that it was good or bad that this happened. I'm saying I think this is a time for a breakthrough. I think we're breaking the code, breaking the matrix. And we are saying, hang on a minute, this isn't giving me security. Living in this small room, this box, within this bubble, yes, it feels safe, but I don't want to feel that type of safety anymore. If I have a fear of dying, I have to remind myself I'm going to die anyway. So let's go beyond that. If I have a fear of being alone, we're probably alone at this moment because we just don't fit in. If we have a fear of being abandoned, we probably are abandoning ourselves. So this is a time to say, I'm breaking the code. I'm breaking the matrix that I've lived in with false accounting, and I'm willing to spread my wings and fly. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I don't want to be anymore. So my friends, I hope you will find those wings. It's okay if you don't know the answers, but once you feel in your heart that this is the right thing to do and you make that first step on the ladder on the road, I can tell you, you're never going to be alone. Because once we make those decisions, we start to draw in towards us those beings from both this planet and beyond who say, yes, I will journey with you because you are part of me and I am part of you. Together, we will create a new and exciting world where all experience a sense of inner peace, inner security, and freedom. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the HeartSpeak podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all HeartSpeak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. HeartSpeak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Tumblr, and now playing on Amazon Music and iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcast on Christine's channel on YouTube, and now on Rumble. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.